Hi, and welcome to the podcast, which should be a very short one. I should put myself on the clock, under 10 minutes, because I've been sick all week. Didn't come to work for Tuesday and Wednesday, and I don't know if it was COVID or RSV or the parts of the flu or the seasonal cold, a mix of all of them. I would suggest, I think for most people, like, why would you test for COVID now anyway if you have it? Unless there's some extenuating circumstances where you should see a doctor immediately because it could infect your lungs or something like that. I think I got my COVID shot. Pretty sure I got a flu shot with that sometime after the first round of this, of people being sick in places. That was like December. There was a second round. I think this is the third round. So I just, when I felt it coming on, Monday night and Tuesday night were very challenging to sleep. And all the symptoms were modest, but them all compiled together made me feel quite unwell. I didn't feel this stabbing in my chest from coughing. I don't think, if I had a fever, it was not a very high one, but I had just enough chills and aches and discomfort and stuffiness. You can hear it now, where I was like, I don't feel well. So I just got to like rest this thing out. So my plan when I do get sick, which is once every 2 years, for the most part, I'm able to fight these things off before they become like a full-blown cold. I take Tylenol severe cold and flu. I stick with tea, a little bit of whiskey, help to take the edge off, and lots of Cherry Hall's cough drops. So I hope you're feeling well. Just a couple of quick things here. One, I do this now because I've got some time and I don't know if Alex will have time to chat about it on Monday with her coming back from her trip to Florida. So I believe she's kicking the hornet's nest once again. Beyonce gave us a couple of songs right after the Super Bowl. Texas Hold'em. It turned out to be a pretty sizable hit, a very big hit on some country charts. And I thought, because she is who she is, she was sending a message that I am not going to allow a certain sect of country music fans to disallow certain kinds of people to make country music. Not just her, but plenty of women who have been pushed out of the format. Next up, she says that what's coming out next week, on the 29th, a week from today, this ain't a country album. This is a Beyonce album, the Cowboy Carter album. Now, a couple of things. If there is anybody who can have the hubris and talent to say that they are their own genre, Beyonce is one of them. Taylor Swift is the other one. They make genres. Like, they make music, and then the genres go to them, as opposed to artists making things in a certain sandbox. The second part is, I haven't heard anything. I don't know anything. I will completely believe that this is a country album. And I think it is to kick the hornet's nest again, those same people who don't want someone like Beyonce, someone who's the skin color or gender of Beyonce, making music in what they feel is their realm. You stay away from us. You go make your black music, your dance music, your game, whatever it is. We are country music fans, and you stay out of the sandbox. I think because she is who she is, and when you have the power and clout and influence and sway and any other synonym that fits with those words, when she has that and she can be an agent of change and they can be an agent of change, do it. Especially when you're trying to right a wrong, which is keeping people out of a certain thing, which music, art, it's open to everybody. So I think this is her second uppercut, or shot across the bow of those country music fans who don't want anything like Beyonce making country music. Again, it is part of her heritage and upbringing as well. She is a Texas, a Houston girl, so it's not that foreign to her. She certainly has a drawl, if you've ever heard her speak, and I know you have. So I'm excited to see round two of Beyonce pissing in the Cheerios of certain country music fans. Next up, I am seeing, and I completely understand why, because there has been an onslaught of these lately, the chorus of stop remaking movies and TV shows has hit quite a high pitch in the last week or so. The Beetlejuice trailer hit. Can I tell you something? I don't think I ever watched that movie all the way through. I think when I was a little boy, I was scared of it, but I was only scared because it was weird. And I couldn't grasp that the Batman was under all that makeup. It was an odd movie. Maybe I'll rewatch it as I did something else the other night and have a new appreciation and like it. The thing that really kind of kicked a lot of this off was, and should shoot down a lot of people's remake thoughts, Dune came out a month or so ago to massive ovations. I didn't think it was all that special. Maybe it's because I don't know the Duneverse that well. I didn't read the book. I never saw the original. I probably would not have gone to this if it wasn't for a load of actors whose work I really like, but I also knew that it was kind of an event and way more. I am the minority in disliking Dune. I know many people are already excited for what will likely be the final part of the trilogy that hasn't even been officially greenlit so far as I know, but clearly there is more to finish in this book. I've got to guess this version of Dune was better than the first one. Because we've come 40 years in so many ways of advancement. Technology, talent, skill, creativity. So I think it deserved, in essence, another chapter. The Neverending Story is getting a reboot, a remake. I have stories from that movie as well. It was one of the two extremely tragic, disruptive times of my childhood. You might be able to guess, watching Optimus Prime die on the big screen in, what was it, 86? Ripped my heart out. I had no words. I didn't understand what was happening. Like, he's the good guy. He's the hero. They don't die. Shortly before that, though, I had seen The Neverending Story. Now, this definitely gets filed under, oh, kids say the darndest things. I am 100% certain I said to my mom and dad when I saw that, whenever it came out, 83, 84. And this was foresight to being Eric being ultra little, Eric being ultra literal. Mom, it ended. Like, we're leaving. But it said the never ending story. And I think they probably just patted me on my head. But I think we are all aware of the devastating moment that eviscerated our childhoods in that movie, when Artax got stuck in the mud and drowned. That was terrifying. That was soul aching. Later on in the movie, some of the weird Muppet like beasts and whatnot, like there were some bizarre, unsettling visuals for a 4 or 5 year old in that movie, when the statues were crumbling. The young princess at the end was kind of creepy. Thankfully, the dog. Oh, shit. What's the dog's name? Oh, this is going to hit. Oh, what's the dog? This is going to bother me so much. Falcor. It was Falcor, the flying unicorn dog thing. Thankfully, Falcor brought some joy to the end of that movie, so I didn't have to go home with the visual of that horse dying and that kid crying as it drowned in the mud. It's being remade. Please do a softer job of the horse scene. The Crow is being remade. One of the Skarsgårds is playing Eric Draven. So I don't think I have seen The Crow since I saw it originally when I was 14, 15 years old. And I know that there may have been other versions of it since and attempts at remakes. And I know they've all been C-level or colossal flops. So I rewatched The Crow on Monday night for the first time as an adult. It aged okay. Not great. Like, the caliber of writing and the corniness, the pulpiness, that's left to the 80s and 90s. So we'll get a crisper version of it this time. Likely more violent. But watching The Crow, it was a good movie. I enjoyed it watching it for the first time as an adult. I had forgotten or overlooked that it was a comic book written in the mid to late 80s, in a very dark period of comic books. And it only came to life because Brandon Lee wanted it to. And I do remember when I was a teenager thinking, hold on a second. Brandon Lee died almost the same way his dad did, like on the set, shooting a movie. Like, that seems impossible to be a coincidence. I never dug down that rabbit hole, but yeah, that was he died making that movie. I know the director or the producer of the first Crow is not on board with this remake, which again I think will be a very good movie. This is hard to believe, but like, you know, food, technology, TVs, almost everything material is better now than then. Well, that's definitely the case with movies. You can still have the charm and the corniness of those older things, but things now are likely always going to be better. We just do things better. I'm looking forward to that. Beetlejuice, we got to that. There will also be, and I think the trailer is hit. I don't even know if I'm going to see the trailer because, again, I was a very little boy when my dad used to watch The Fall Guy. I believe Lee Majors was the star of that show. I vaguely remember what it was about. It was in the Knight Rider, TJ Hooker, Magnum PI era of TV. And I didn't watch everything that my dad watched, but we should all be aboard the Ryan Gosling train as he is the Fall Guy in this reboot remake of that 80s TV show. And I think that comes out in early May. Point being here, maybe you've got so little angst in your life, you just got to have something to be upset about. But I would suggest there are plenty of viable things to be very upset, outraged, and angered by in today's world. You can spend 30 seconds on the internet and get upset at something. Around 81,000th on the list of things that you should be upset and angry about is reboots and remakes of movies and TV shows that may be beloved to you. Again, I get it. There is an emotional connection to childhood memories and the charm of then. They could never do it better. Well, that's where you're wrong. Things are probably better. And I know, you don't have to remind me, better is better and relative. Better is subjective and everything is relative. But these are not things you should get upset about. In fact, I bet we could look at some things that you have watched or viewed or read over the years, and you may or may not know that that was probably done by somebody else first, right? Did you enjoy the Wonka movie? Well, that was kind of like it was a prequel, but it was taking the spirit of Wonka. Pretty darn good movie. There are some people, and this is piling on the superhero fatigue pile up, and pointing out how those movies are dying off. And I will say, no, it's a mediocre movie battle of fatigue. Like, these movies are not good. Case in point, they're not as good as we're used to. Case in point, the last couple days is the first Marvel project I could not wait to rewatch since Endgame. The iconic, legendary, gorgeous X-Men animated show of the mid-90s was revived and continued on Disney Plus. Again, modernized with animation and graphics and dialogue, but that was a pretty big thing in the 90s. Couldn't wait to get back in and dive into that. First thing I have died to rewatch so quickly since Endgame. So it's not superhero stuff. It's mediocre movie fatigue. But to the point of they're dying off, and here comes this wave of creativity. And this might not necessarily be a thought of yours, but I've seen plenty of people say, thank goodness for Barbie and Oppenheimer and Dune. Like, these are beautiful pieces of creativity and originality. I call bullshit. In fact, they might be the farthest thing from originality that you can get. I didn't say they're not good movies. Barbie was my favorite movie of last year. I'm glad I saw Oppenheimer, but Barbie is arguably the second most popular toy in history behind Legos. So, not real original there. Told a beautiful story, thoughtful, sharp story, but Barbie, nothing original there. Oppenheimer is arguably the most important, was one of the two or three most important moments of the 20th century, if not in all of human history, for the nuclear achievement and devastation that it brought and how it changed the way modern conflicts after that were viewed, or lack of conflicts. Like, we have these, but if we set these off, like, the earth goes poof. Historical event. And then Dune, which was, again, an 80s movie that came after a book. So I just see lots of people wanting to say superhero movies were over them, when again, we're just over mediocre movies, and we'll give credit to almost anything that is a good movie. As I just pointed out, those three, not that original. Did I go over 10 minutes? Shit, we're at 15. My bad.